Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
You are now listening to the Prescription for Purpose podcast, the go-to destination for women who are tired of feeling burnt out and stuck in the exhausting cycle of doing but not thriving. Each week, we'll provide you with Christ-centered mental wellness prescriptions to help you reclaim your peace, renew your purpose, and live life spiritually well. And if you're a therapist or a coach, the tools and insights that we curate here will help you make a Christ-centered impact on your clients today. Are you ready, sis? Let's get started. Hey, friend, and welcome back to another episode of the Prescription for Purpose podcast. I'm really excited today as we are continuing in our communication series with God. And today we're going to be talking about what happens after we receive. We're going to talk about how a lot of us may find ourselves feeling frustrated if you are doing all of the things that you feel like you're supposed to be doing, and you are not seeing transformation in your life. There are very few things that hit harder than showing up, praying, reading, worshiping, and then still walking away feeling like you are empty. And you know that you have done all the things that every person, podcast, pastor has told you to do. However, you still aren't seeing the breakthrough. And so you find yourself in a position where you are frustrated because you're carving out the time in your schedule. You are opening up your Bible even when you're tired. You take notes during the sermons. You sing your worship songs. You're not distracted. You're not lazy. You are actually showing up. And instead of leaving feeling full, you leave these spaces feeling frustrated. Instead of feeling like you are seeing fruit in your life, you feel like your life looks the same and it starts to wear you down. And if you are being honest with yourself, it will make you start questioning whether or not you're doing something wrong or if God isn't showing up for you in the way that you thought that you would because there's something wrong with you. The cycle is exhausting because you're pouring out, but you don't feel poured into. And even if you don't say it out loud, you feel stuck. You feel like you're on this spiritual autopilot and nothing is really shifting. But here's what I need you to understand. This has nothing to do with you being broken or God discarding you. It has nothing to do with God not speaking because he's always speaking. This is another communication breakdown. Because hearing from God is not only about him speaking and you hearing the words, it's about what happens next. So once the word is received, your mind immediately goes to work. You are trying to interpret, you're trying to filter, you're trying to assign meaning. This step in that communication cycle that we talked about last week is called decoding. And decoding is where things oftentimes get stuck. Even when God's word comes through loud and clear, the way that you decode it will determine whether it becomes transformation in your life or if you will walk away still feeling empty like you did before. Now, you guys know that I love to unpack our feelings here because every feeling has a function. And so when you are feeling empty or you experience emptiness, it's this drained, disconnected feeling. it feels like nothing in your walk is actually moving you forward. This is not a random feeling. It's not proof that something is the matter with you. Feelings have a function, and the feeling of emptiness is a signal. It shows up when the practices that you're doing are there, but the intimacy is missing. So that feeling of emptiness, it is a reminder that something in the way that you're connecting with God is not hitting the mark. And so instead of treating it like failure, you need to see it for what it is. It really is an invitation for you to evaluate so you can draw closer. James 4:8 tells us that if we draw near to God, he'll draw near to us. And when you feel the feeling of emptiness, it really is communicating to you, hey, like, stop settling for the routine, and I want you to come closer to the Lord so you can actually be filled. Emptiness reshapes how you engage with God. And this is why being responsive in an appropriate manner matters so much, because it reshapes how you engage with the Lord. It makes you feel like prayer is a chore. It will make worship feel like it is just another thing to do. It's very mechanical. It will make scripture feel like it's just words printed on paper instead of it being a living word. And then over time, it doesn't just drain your energy, but it starts to lower your expectation. You stop coming to God with hope and you start coming to him out of habit. And once that happens, that's where you have a communication breakdown. You're still going through the motions, but you're no longer expectant of intimacy. If emptiness goes unaddressed, if it goes unchecked, it starts to decode how you interpret what God is saying. So all of a sudden, God sends a word of correction and it feels like condemnation. All of a sudden, you feel like God is silent and it manifests in your heart as feeling rejected. There's a delay in something that you're praying for, and instead of seeing it as God growing you in patience, because you are operating from a space of emptiness, it feels like punishment. Instead of receiving God's word as life-giving, you filter it through disappointment, so it feels heavy or it feels irrelevant to your situation, and eventually the emptiness is going to start tempting you to disengage altogether. You stop expecting dialogue and you start assuming distance with God. How many times have you felt like, man, I don't feel as close to God as I did before? That emptiness. The danger of emptiness when it is not stewarded appropriately is that it convinces you that communication with God isn't working, even when he's still speaking loud and clear. And that's why you have to understand that emptiness is not the end of the story, but it is an invitation for you to press into deeper intimacy with God. It's all a part of this communication cycle that we've been walking through. Last week, we talked about reception. We talked about the parable of the seeds and the hard ground and the ground where it got scorched in terms of us being in a position to be ready to hear what God is saying. But this week, it is so important to move into that next stage of the communication cycle where we talk about decoding. In the communication cycle, decoding is what happens when you are interpreting what the person speaking to you is saying. It's what happens next after you've received the word. It's the moment where your mind goes to work trying to figure out, like, what does this mean? And then what am I supposed to do with this? And it's critical because decoding is really where intimacy is going to be blocked or it's going to be built. If you interpret God's word through old assumptions, through disappointment, then you're going to twist it before it even has a chance to transform you. But if you approach it with openness, if you approach it with humility, then you create space to really hear what God is saying. And that's what makes this stage of the communication cycle so powerful, because it really decides whether you just hear the words God saying or if you actually are going to draw closer to him. Now, y'all know I'm going to bring in the science, okay? When we research this and we look at what psychology says, it gives us some really helpful language. When you are decoding, when you are in this phase of the communication cycle, there's usually one or two things that's going to happen. The first is called assimilation. Assimilation is when you hear something from God or people, and then you try to take that and you try to fit it into what you already think, what you already believe, or what you already want. That'll preach all by itself. And it feels safer because it doesn't challenge you. This is how you find yourself in comfort zones. But the truth is, it keeps you stuck. The second route that decoding usually takes is accommodation. And this is when you let what God is saying reshape you, even if it doesn't fit your old way of thinking. Accommodation is a lot harder. However, this is where intimacy and transformation actually happens. So with assimilation, you stay in control. With accommodation, you have to surrender. I want us to break these down because we don't talk about how one of the things that has to be solidified in your relationship with God, if we are going to hear from him appropriately, is the willingness for you to surrender how you think. We are always so ready to shut down what we think are bad habits. And those may be habitual things that need to be addressed. However, if your mind about it has not been changed, which is the biblical definition of repentance, is for you to turn away from, to turn your mind away from an old way of thinking. If your mind has not been changed about it, then you're not going to be able to be consistent in the habit. This is why this is critical. So let's look at assimilation and accommodation, okay? Assimilation happens when you take what God is saying and you squeeze it into what you already believe, what you expect, or what you want. So instead of letting God's word confront you, you reshape it until it feels safe. That might look like you reading a verse on forgiveness and then being like, well, I'm gonna forgive them if they apologize. Mm-mm. Or if God tells you to let go of something and you reshape it as to, well, maybe he means I should just stop doing it as often instead of you taking the command as the command. Do you hear what I'm saying? Like, assimilation makes God's word sound like a nicer version of your own opinion. And the danger in that is now it feels like you're being obedient, but really you are avoiding completely what God is saying. Assimilation comes from the way our minds use mental frameworks. And these narratives or schemas is what they're called in psychology. They are like a mental shortcut. It's how your brain organizes information, and it's based on past experiences and your belief. Now, the gag is your brain prefers to keep the categories stable, even if they are flawed. That means that if something new comes in, even the word of God, your natural instinct, your brain's instinct is to try to bend it, fold it, and fit it into what you already know. That feels safer because your mind hates uncertainty and your mind, your brain, is resistant to change. We have talked about how your brain tries to be efficient and tries to keep you safe. The reason that you have to submit your mind every day for renewal is because what your brain thinks as safe and what actually is good for you are two different things. Your brain bases safety on predictability. But we know that true safety is by us submitting to the Father. So leaning to that comfort zone, your mind may interpret that as safety, but spiritually, we know that that is very dangerous. Because if you have ever only heard God through the filters of your own flawed thinking, you're not actually hearing Him. You are hearing yourself. You are being the Lord over your own life. We see this in Scripture. When Israel, the people of Israel, saw Jesus, their response to Jesus was based on their interpretation and what they wanted the Messiah to look like. They had been waiting for the Messiah, but they expected a military leader who would overthrow Rome, who would restore political power, who would have a kingdom on earth. And so when Jesus came in, healing the sick, preaching repentance, announcing the kingdom of God, it didn't look like what they thought the kingdom of God would look like. And so they could not reconcile that. In John 1:11, he says that he came to his own and his own people did not receive him. Why? Because his own people tried to assimilate him into their categories, into their frameworks of what strength, power, and control looked like. That's why when he was up on the cross, so many people were deflated. They thought it was over because they did not hear with ears to hear when Jesus was telling them about the kingdom of God. And you see it throughout the New Testament. Jesus finds himself getting increasingly frustrated when the brothers come up and they're like, so who gonna sit on the right? Who gonna sit on the left? Like, they're worried about stuff that has nothing to do with what is actually happening. Why? Because there was still a level of assimilation, even though they walked closely with the Father. Even after watching his miracles in John 6:15, it talks about how they were going to try to make Jesus be what they wanted him to be. It says, perceiving then that they were about to come and take him by force and make him king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by himself because the people had just saw him feed 5,000 people and they were in an uproar. They were going to try to make him be something that he was not meant to be. They were going to try to make him fit what they thought the Messiah would look like instead of being who God created him to be, even though he was all God and all man. At the same time, they wanted to force him into their vision instead of receiving the Father's vision for who he actually was here on earth. The assimilation blinded them from intimacy. They did not even realize that this is the very Messiah that they had been waiting for. And we also face that same level of danger. When you only allow God to fit inside of your comfort zone, then you cut yourself off from transformation. You cut yourself off from proper communication with Him. You are not ready to receive what He's trying to bring to you. And although assimilation may feel safe, it leaves you stuck, it leaves you empty, and it leaves you unchanged, which is the most dangerous part of this. But on the other hand, we have accommodation, and accommodation is on that opposite side. Instead of you forcing God's word to fit your comfort zone, you actually allow it to reshape you, even if it stretches you, even if it challenges you, even if it overturns everything that you thought that you knew, you are willing to deal with that because you want real intimacy and true transformation. So in real life, right? It may look like you reading a verse about forgiveness and then realizing that you're going to have to release someone who never
will apologize. I will never forget the day I was going on and on and on about somebody close to me who had really hurt me. And the Lord brought me over to Luke 6. And if you've never read Luke 6, go read it. But in so many words, okay, toward the end of the passage, it talks about how even sinners can be nice to people who are nice to them. But you're a child of God, so you're going to be kind to people who are unkind to you. I very quickly at first wanted to assimilate that information. However, I wanted it to fit into my, like, okay, God, but I'm still going to be petty a little bit. No. I had to allow what God revealed to me to reshape how I thought, to reshape how I operate, even if I struggled with it. Even if I struggled with it, there are going to be some people that you have to be kind to, girl, and you never getting an apology here on earth. Or if God is calling you into obedience and it feels completely beyond your ability, good. God had to gather me up too. When he said, Sharla, you're holding yourself to the standard of perfection, I don't even hold you to that. That's why I sent my son. And I had to accommodate to that way of thinking. So I'm releasing projects and realizing that I need to make some changes, not in a way to be messy, but I'm not going to allow perfection to be something that keeps me from being obedient to God. Because as I do what he's called me to do, he continues to equip me, changes the way that I think, changes how I operate. And so the next project or the next thing, I have the lessons that I can continue to build on. That's how you see. Friends, something that stresses me out in my quiet time is when I'm trying to highlight something in the book of Joshua, but somehow the ink ends up in the book of Revelation, and the Lord has supplied a solution. Mr. Pen. Mr. Pen is an amazing company that was started by Christian teachers in Louisiana, and girl, you can tell, these Bible study supplies are phenomenal. I have the Bible journaling kit. I also got the Bible study sticky notes and the tabs, and girl, they are everything I need and more. And you need it too, friend. The Bible study kit has highlighters that do not bleed through my Bible. I only want Christ to bleed for me. I don't need the highlighters to do the same. And Mr. Pen has figured out the solution. It has pens, highlighters. It has stickers for prophecies, themes. Like, it is literally everything. And because teachers are teachers, it has a bag to put all of my supplies in. I am in love. The Bible study sticky tabs have dates for me to hold myself accountable to memorizing my verses. So I'm not just sitting there staring at them, but I'm able to continue to really progress in learning the word and keeping it in my heart. And I am in love. They even have custom products for churches, schools, conferences. They sell school supplies. They have Bibles. Everything that you need is over at Mr. Pen. So whether you're upgrading your own quiet time or you want to gift for a friend, Mr. Pen is the move. I need you to shop the best Bible journaling supplies on the market and fantastic gifts for the ladies in your life at MrPen.com. That's MRPEN.com. And guess what? Our audience gets a special discount. Use the code PURPOSE10 at checkout to get 10% off of your entire order today. That is MrPen.com, and use the code PURPOSE10 at checkout to get 10% off of your entire order today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
A BetterHelp ad. Lewis Capaldi partnered with BetterHelp to get word out about how important therapy can be.
Or I struggle most weeks to like get up, get myself up and ready and go to therapy or, you know, whatever. Like even like to open the laptop to talk to my therapist sometimes can be really difficult. But I do it because I realise how important it is for me to continue to feel good. Like, 'cause I felt the best I've felt in a long time through therapy.
Learn more about online therapy at betterhelp.com.
Transformation, intimacy and growth. A lot of times we are inclined to delay our obedience instead of simply saying, Lord, if this is you, then I'm willing to change. Help me. What's that scripture about the Father? He said, help my unbelief. God is not looking for us to be able to make this change on our own. Our ability to accommodate is not simply based on your own strength. That is why we have Holy Spirit as our counselor, as our advisor, as our instructor, as our advocate. We draw our strength to accommodate what the Lord is saying from Him. That's how you grow in those fruits of the Spirit. But are we willing to change? Accommodation is uncomfortable. But it's also where intimacy is built, because intimacy is going to require humility. You have to let God be fully heard on His terms and not just on your terms. Accommodation is harder from a psychological standpoint because it requires your brain to do the opposite of what it prefers. And you've heard me say on this podcast over and over again, when you look at the definition of the word love, when the Bible talks about loving God with your whole heart, mind, strength, that word in the Greek means to choose God's choices, that you prefer what God prefers. And so when we choose to accommodate, we are actually practicing loving the Lord. Our minds oftentimes want to cling to these frameworks, to these categories that we've built. But when we actually accommodate, it requires flexibility. It forces you to admit what I thought I knew is not enough, and I have to allow myself to be reshaped, renewed, reformed, refined, perfected. That takes humility. And a lot of us struggle here. But I want to remind us of what James 4 and 6 says, that God opposes the proud. You are making yourself the ops, okay? He opposes the proud and He gives grace to the humble. So when you choose accommodation, you're choosing humility. And humility is exactly what's going to open up the door for God's grace to transform you. Go over to Acts 10 and see how Peter was transformed. In Acts 10, Peter has been taught his whole life to see certain foods and by extension to also certain people as unclean. But in this passage, God is expanding the kingdom, and Peter had to be reformed in order to receive it. Peter is told to eat these foods. Peter's like, I'll never do that because those foods are yucky. Okay? He don't say yucky, but those foods are seen as unclean. Traditionally, that has been the framework in which I have been taught to view those things. But then in Acts 10, 13 through 15, it says, and there came a voice to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, by no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything this that is common or unclean. And the voice came and said to him a second time, what God has made clean, do not call common. So at first, Peter kind of resisted the instruction from God, that assimilation. But when he humbled himself to accommodate God's word, his entire framework shifted. He went to Cornelius's house, who was a Gentile. We watch how God changes his framework, not only on the food, but also on people. Because when he gets to Cornelius and has this experience with him in Acts 10:34-35, he says, truly, I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. And that really is how accommodation works. It requires humility, but it produces transformation. It takes what does not fit into your old categories, your old ways of thinking, and it lets God reshape it and use it to reshape your thinking, to reshape your obedience, and to reshape your intimacy with him. Accommodation is where you go from routine to renewal. And this matters because how you decode what God says, it doesn't just shape your understanding. It shapes that intimacy. It shapes your faith. It shapes your transformation. Romans 12:2 tells us, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God and what is good and acceptable and perfect. Did you catch that, friend? How do you know God's will if you're not willing to accommodate? Transformation comes through a renewed mind. So how are you being transformed and renewed if you're unwilling to accommodate? If you're trying to have God assimilate to what you want him to do? You have to be willing to let go of these frameworks and these experiences and see God for who he is. If your mind never yields, your life is never going to change. This is also where faith comes in. Romans 10:17 says, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. But in the Greek, this word faith is not just about hearing sounds. You know that faith is God's divine persuasion. All of our faith comes from the Lord. It's his instruction. It's his inclination. And is also us rightly interpreting what he's saying. So the right response is triggered. That's why Hebrews 11:6 says, it's impossible to please God without faith. Not because you got to muster up all of this belief in your shanana. No, it's impossible to please God without faith, because if you don't understand that faith is you hearing God or him impressing something upon your heart and you properly responding, then you're not listening to him. So how are you going to please him if you're not listening to him? Huh? You see how easy the word of God is? It's not that deep. You have to then recognize that if faith comes by hearing, and if faith by definition is me allowing God to impress something upon my heart, me have the right interpretation of that, and then respond appropriately, guess what, friend? That is literally decoding. That is literally this phase of the communication cycle. If you decide that you're going to assimilate, then you mishear and you do not grow in faith. If you decide that you're going to accommodate, then you can hear correctly and you grow in faith, because you're responding to what God actually said and you're not responding to what you wish he said. This is why when Jesus talks in the New Testament and he says, like in Luke 8:8, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. That's because not everybody who hears actually hears. There is a difference between sound waves coming through your little eustachian tube and all the vibrating parts of your tympanic membrane, okay, that's your eardrum. There's a difference between that and then actually hearing and responding appropriately. And before you even get to a response, that decoding, that interpretation has to happen. Some people will hear and they are going to assimilate. They are going to fit what Jesus is saying into their categories and they are going to walk away unchanged. We saw that with the Pharisees. We saw that with the Sadducees. We saw that with the people who chose not to believe. Other people are going to hear and accommodate. They're going to let the word confront them. They're going to let the word reshape them. They're going to let the word pull them closer. And this is the path to intimacy. This is the path to transformation. So what am I saying? If you are struggling to hear from God in terms of you feeling as if there is no transformation and no intimacy in your relationship with him, even though you are putting in your best effort to show up uninterrupted, you're doing the things, you've built the routines, you're going to church, you're taking the notes, you're putting in the effort, but you still don't feel like you're seeing fruit. If that is the communication struggle that you're having, I need you to hear that the issue is how you're interpreting. The issue is a decoding issue. Now we have to say, am I assimilating? Because assimilation is going to block communication. It's going to leave you spiritually busy, but unchanged. Or am I accommodating? Am I allowing God to disrupt everything that I know? Because accommodation renews your mind. It builds your faith. It deepens your intimacy with God. And intimacy is what unlocks true transformation. So how do we actually make this shift? We know that our brains love predictability. So we build those mental shortcuts. We build those categories that keep us in a space where we feel like we are safe and in control. That's why assimilation, it feels natural. Because your mind wants to reduce God's word until it fits your old categories. The way that you move past this is that you have to make space for the discomfort. I did not like when God took me to Luke 6. I said, I don't like this. Straight up, God, I don't like this. And not only do I not like this, I'm struggling with this. Because I know you see this person being mean. I know you see this person being hurtful. I know vengeance doesn't belong to me. I fully accept that. Can't you strike them down? Like, let's be for real. Okay, because I be reading Psalms. They said, do something about this. And I approach God with that same energy. God, can't you strike them down? Okay, because Ananias and Sapphira, they had died in New Testament. Because I'm tired of being disrespected. And then God reminded me of Luke 6, reminded me not only of that, but also how he extends his own grace and mercy and kindness to me. And it can't only be acceptable for me when I mess up. That grace and mercy has to extend to everybody or he wouldn't be God. And I had to accommodate to that. I said, well, okay, Lord. And then I cried because I was frustrated. And I said, thanks for listening. And I got up and went on my way. I made room to understand that it can't just be good for me, his grace and mercy, right? That it transformed me, understanding that I have to give grace because I receive it when I really understand what that means. But I had to be willing to come to him. Like, Lord, I don't like how this fits in my mind, because you could just do what you did in Acts, okay? Because sometimes you got to pop out and show the people, okay? I need you to pop out and show them on my behalf, okay? That's what I need from you, Lord. Verily, verily. Listen, I love the Lord, and also I'm a real person, y'all. I'd be like, God, can you please beat them up? I'm sick of it. but God is kind. Right? You have to be willing to say, I'm willing to be changed. I'm not going to make this fit my framework. So you have to be aware, because you cannot change what you don't notice. God isn't going to reveal, or it cannot heal what isn't revealed, rather. The second part is you being humble. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So this is where you have to admit, Lord, I don't like this. This does not fit how I think. This doesn't fit my experience. This doesn't fit how I've come to know to do things. However, I'm willing to be reshaped, reformed to fit the image of Christ and to fit the image of who you have called me to be. I want to think like this. I need help. And then the third part is that you are exposing yourself. The more consistently that you allow yourself to sit with God's word, even when it feels disruptive, it trains your brain and rewires it into new categories, into new schemas, into these new filters. That rewiring is called neuroplasticity. It is a very real thing. You can train your brain to think a new way. Scripture calls it renewing your mind. That transformation has to happen as a byproduct of your mind being renewed. So awareness, humility, and exposure, it's not something that happens instantaneously. It's not easy. It was very hard. That's why after he revealed to me in Luke, I cried after, because I was like, I don't like that answer. But not my will. Let yours be done. I need to get in line with this. And that's real. It's not instant. It's not easy. It is worth it. Every time that you choose to accommodate, you're not just learning something new, but you're building intimacy with God and you are creating condition for real transformation. Decoding and exploring this topic, exploring the communication cycle. I'm not trying to just be fancy and be academic and give y'all communication theory. It really is me showing you how the same way that psychology tells us to build intimacy with other people, we need to address these things in our relationship with God. It is a relationship. And being able to properly decode, to understand, is the starting point of building intimacy with the Lord. It is where your faith is shaped. It's where your mind is renewed. It's where your life is transformed. Go meditate on Romans 12 and 2. Transformation happens after your mind is renewed. Go meditate on Romans 10, 17. Faith only comes by hearing. That means that you are decoding the word of Christ rightly. And rightly doesn't mean that you're right. It's by God's standard. And then even how Christ told us in Luke 8 and 8, not everyone who hears actually hears. Like, girl, you hear me, but do you feel me? Okay? The question is not whether or not is God speaking. The question is whether you'll allow his word to reshape you instead of reducing it down to fit your comfort zone. Every time you hear God's word in prayer, in worship, in scripture, you are standing at a crossroad. You have a choice to make, right? How the Bible talks about we have the right to choose the choice between life and death. Every time that you are exposed to the word of God, you have the right to choose and you have a choice to make. As for me and my house, okay? As for me and mine, we're going to serve the Lord over here. So I'm going to accommodate. I'm willing to sit down and acknowledge that this is not how I would typically do things, but God, I want to take things that you show to me and use them in the way that you would have me to do that. Assimilation is going to keep you busy but empty. Accommodation is going to draw you closer and you are going to be changed from the inside out. And this is not the end of the conversation, right? It's the beginning of intimacy. It is the starting point of transformation. And that all starts with how you choose to hear. So friend, I pray that this blessed you. I pray that you hear what God is saying beyond all of the fancy academic terms, that you really are able to allow God to reveal to you how this may be a communication block in your relationship with him. And then you address it. You repent. You start to address, yeah, I do be trying to make God's word fit what I want, what pastor or some prophet liar has told me that I should name and claim and all that. Like, girl, stop. We can stand on what God's word says because his word never returns void. But there is some stuff that we have done and some ways that we have assimilated with this name it and claim it culture. With the, I'm going to command heaven and I'm going to declare and decree. No, God declares and decrees. Girl, sis, listen, no. How you going to command God to do anything from heaven? What is wrong with us? Like, what is wrong with us? Imagine your kids coming in declaring and decreeing what you about to do. Child, please. But we have gotten so used to and we have assimilated thought patterns and practices that are not biblical. And we have to repent from those things because they're pulling us to feel empty. And that emptiness is pulling us away from God. So I love you, sis. I pray that this has blessed you as much as it blessed me. And I'll see you next week, girl, for the season finale, okay? The season finale is next week, and we're going to be wrapping up our series on communicating with the Lord.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
A BetterHelp ad. Lewis Capaldi partnered with BetterHelp to get word out about how important therapy can be.
I struggle most weeks to like get up, get myself up and ready and go to therapy or, you know, whatever. Like even like to open the laptop to talk to my therapist sometimes can be really difficult. But I do it because I realise how important it is for me to continue to feel good. Because like, I felt the best I've felt in a long time through therapy.
Learn more about online therapy at betterhelp.com.